Okay, so what was really hard or really easy about the work on the bison epigenetic paper?
It was difficult because we didn't know that the methylated signal, that methyl group, would still be there back 30, 40,000 years ago in these ancient bones. And we also didn't know where it would be in the bison genome. We used a cow as a kind of proxy and said the genes that are methylated in a modern cow would be likely to be maybe methylated in a bison. So let's go looking for those. So one of the most difficult things about measuring methylated bases, a base with a methyl group on the side of it, is the standard technique is to destroy everything else and measure what's left. Now, that's exactly what happens. You throw in a chemical that destroys all other bases, it modifies them, but doesn't touch the C's with this methyl group on the side of them. Now, with modern DNA, that's easy enough. With ancient DNA, you've hardly got anything to start with. Once you start destroying it with a chemical, there's basically almost nothing left. So we could only do this in one particular specimen that had a large amount of DNA surviving. The big opportunity is that next generation sequencing completely changes that way of measuring Cs. We can now do it in real time without destroying anything else.
You were looking for a needle in a haystack, but you had some clues and you had to destroy your rare and precious sample.
Yep.
Did anything fall into place during that paper?
We could certainly see that we could see methylated bases, and we could see that many of the genes had a half methylated, half not methylated signal, which is exactly what you expect, because one copy of the gene has been inherited from one parent and the other from the other parent, and so you'd often expect to get a 50-50 signal going on, and we can even see that in the sequences. What we're worried is that the techniques we're using might destroy or change the ratios, but because we're seeing what you'd see in a modern living animal, we were happy that we were getting authentic data back that far.
Now, were there any dramas in the process of conducting this work that you'd like to share?
Well, we took us 6 bison to find one that would work, and then trying to publish it was extremely difficult because journals are still struggling with epigenetics. The medical people do it, but evolutionists aren't really that interested. And trying to convince anyone that an ancient version of epigenetics was important was quite difficult. So it took us a good, almost a year to get the story published. So, you know, often that's a problem when you're working in ancient DNA, you're working between traditional fields, and a lot of journals kind of look at it and say, well, that's not us, that's someone else, and you get bounced all over the place.
And how do you get your hands on a specimen of ancient bison? Tell us about
it's
that.
Great. I mean, field work in Alaska and the Yukon, Siberia is amazing. We go up there, we work with the gold miners who are busy washing away the silt from on top of these old gravels. And the bones are frozen in place in the silt and dirt. This is often 20, 30 meters deep. And so we hang around running in and out and grabbing these bones as they pop out and wash off downstream. So amazing place, brown bears, water, dynamite, it's all go, great stuff, science and real action.
Yeah, in the press I've seen some comments about from you talking about the Klondike gold fields and making some bizarre requests of miners. Can you share?
Yeah, well, the miners, of course, just want to get the stuff removed so they can get at the gold. And they're very tolerant of us asking them to stop their operations so we can run in and grab material before they start up again. But they are increasingly happy because we occasionally pull out complete mammoth tusks. We found one about 4 or 5 years ago. It was about 20 foot long, about 15 feet long. And it was worth about $10,000.
Awesome. So did they check your pockets on the way out of sight?
No, that's the funny thing. I mean, occasionally they let us in at the stage. They plane everything off, all the gravels, and the gold is left there sitting in all the bedrock. And that's the most important phase before they go in and carefully wash it all out. Now, they're always a bit nervous when all the gold is just laid out across an entire field. And they watched us pretty closely the first couple of times we walked in. And I've worked out that I can't tell gold if there's a nugget in front of me. You think of it as a shiny gold thing, and I can be surrounded by it, and it's very hard to spot. And as soon as they worked out we couldn't actually see it, they relaxed quite a lot.
So what is the most profound thing about your findings for science?
I think really what we show is that this form of genetic change can be measured. It's now up to us to take forward the method and look at whole populations and measure them as they go through things like the last glacial maximum when it gets very cold and very harsh. How do the animals adapt? We've now got a way to measure it. We need to go out and get the funding, that's the next step, to start using this on large numbers of bison across time and space. And so that's funding applications to the ARC, next step in the long line of science. A trait that can be inherited through generations that is not in the genetic sequence. Methylation is a form of epigenetics, of influencing how genes are turned on and off. There's other ways to do it, but an easy way is to methylate C's in the four bases of the DNA. It's a methyl group, carbon and three H's stuck on the side of something. Bison, large cow thing. Bison, closely related to yak.
Excellent.
Cow, closely related to cow.
The difference between a bison and a cow.
Ted Turner likes bison, but does not like cows.
Wrong, you can't wash your hands in a cow.
In a bison? Oh dear, oh dear.